Next, from the St. Pete Catalyst, here is Catalyst publisher Joe Hamilton with Mark Puente, a former accountability reporter with the Tampa Bay Times, who is heading off to the West Coast, and the LA Times.
Joining me in the studio today is Mark Puente, the accountability reporter for the Tampa Bay Times. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
You've had a lot of big wins in the last year.
I would say the public had a lot of big wins, courtesy of the Tampa Bay Times.
Yes. Let's talk about that process. So obviously everyone's a little bit different, but if you had to sort of talk about how they come on your radar and what sort of intrigues you to want to go and dig to the next level, how does that happen?
When I came back to the Times in 16, part of the mandate was, we want you to focus on agencies and boards that we haven't looked at, nobody's ever looked at, just go see what you can find. I've had success in other cities and other papers doing accountability work on government agencies. So I, for example, in 2016, I went to the Pinellas County Construction Licensing Board. Mm-hmm. I knew of it a little bit when I covered real estate many years ago here in Pinellas County. I realized that there was a public meeting one day, so I figured, hey, I'll check things out. I went to the meeting. I thought it was odd that I had to get escorted into the meeting room, which most public agencies don't do that. I went back there and everybody kind of stared at me. There's only a few people. I'm a reporter. It's a properly noticed meeting. I could sit and watch it. Immediately, the executive director asked me who I was, made me identify myself. I had nothing to hide, showed my badge, said I'm a reporter for the Times. Mm-hmm. I'm here to just observe. I sat through the meeting. I had no idea what these individuals were ruling on, but they're ruling on discipline for contractors. And something in one of the men said is he represented kind of like one of the people involved in a party and he ruled for him. I just thought that was kind of strange. I still didn't know what it was. At the end of the meeting, the executive director came up to me and said, I want to know what you're doing here, who sent you, and just what are you up to?
Hmm.
As an accountability reporter, you talk about red flags and bells going off. I've never had anybody say that to me. I didn't know how to react. I'm hardly ever at a loss for words.
Right.
I just got up and looked at him politely and I says, well, today's a new day. And I started walking out of the room and then he screamed at me to get into his office. I thought, where's this headed? So I went into his office and just started asking questions. Show me some records. Show me some documents. Show me how many complaints you handled. Show me your discipline history. Show me something. Well, they couldn't show me anything. And they said it was all in binders and ledgers and they would have to review it and charge me exorbitant amounts of money. I left still amazed at the conversation that took place. So I decided then, if you're talking to my editors, that start digging. I dug for several months before a story was published. It was a rather lengthy story that showed that one individual on the board was representing people involved in these complaints and kind of a conflict that he was doing this. He declared it sometimes he didn't. They played fast and loose by the rules. That led to a series of, there was four investigative stories in that series in 17. There's a lot of incremental stories. Second story dealt with, the executive director was accused of being in a relationship with one of his top employees. It was a transcript of this in an HR file. So we published that. He resigned. The state legislature eventually abolished the board, but the bottom line is the public suffered under his leadership for 15 years. Any homeowner in Pinellas County who was beaten out of money by shady contractors had no recourse, none whatsoever. So you're talking tens and tens of thousands of dollars for every average Joe in this county.
Right.
And I felt bad for the consumers who were calling me because they were losing money left and right and had no recourse. The sheriff got involved. He's helped crack down on it and made more than 100 arrests pretty quick. And that's how it came about. Just that individual making that comment. What are you doing here?
Right. How often when you go through this process, do you feel like you get to justice? You know, do you most of the time feel satisfied once you're done and your story's out? Or do some of the times you feel like, man, even though the world knows, it's still not getting fixed?
I don't look at it when I'm doing a series or something that's multiple pieces on one topic as what is justice for me? Justice for me is going to work every day and being allowed to ask questions and write stories. Justice is for the readers who are going to benefit if an action comes from the issues we reported. The public officials grew outraged when they learned this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of some of the board members. They changed the state law, and now it's in the hands of the county, and there's oversight, which is how a government agency should be operated.
Sure. Do you think there's an element of trial by media, or do you think most things shake out as they should?
Well, it's funny you say trial by media, because you look what's going on across this country. As soon as the first story published in that series, the trial by media started. The fake news emails are going out from that executive director and others, and I report the facts. I believe I'm a fair reporter. When I write an investigative series, or an accountability series, as I prefer to call them,
mm-hmm.
I will go to that public official and tell that person up front and look them right in the eyes mm-hmm. that I'm writing a story about you.
Sure.
I'm looking into everything you've done, your entire past. That way there's no surprises. I don't play gotcha journalism.
Right.
They can't come back and say, you know, I called him at 5:30 on a Friday and I got a 6-page story running on Monday or Sunday and he didn't have time to respond.
Right.
No.
And that's very important that you do that.
Yes.
Even if you do that, though, it doesn't necessarily mean that trial by media won't happen after the fact.
No.
So in general, when you see your stories come out, we can look at the, I guess the most recent one would be David Downing. What was your sort of feeling as to how that whole thing played out as far as, you know, him ended up leaving? Did you feel that was appropriate?
That came about because I got a tip to check something out, a solid tip. I just asked for records. And I told David Downing in an email, which I'm very careful what I put in emails because they are public record. After a few weeks of what I would consider to be stonewalling by Mr. David Downing, what David was starting to do is the same thing Rodney Fisher to License Board did. And what Ed Peachy at Career Source did is they want to charge exorbitant fees for ridiculous costs. And I frankly told David, quit stonewalling. I've seen this before. This isn't my first time dealing with this.
Right.
I interviewed David on a Friday with my colleague, and I requested an interview with him and his boss, the assistant county administrator, and the county administrator,
right,
because David was wishy-washy on his answers on the phone and all over the place and trying to talk in circles. And I didn't want no problems. It was a recorded interview. David didn't know what I was going in there to ask.
Right.
I took my binder filled with records and asked him for explanations. I told him I would be starting to write a story on Monday. He resigned on Monday. Hey, he says he has a new job. Good for David.
It takes a special temperament to do this, right? You know, and you're walking, even just in our conversation, you're walking a line between fairness and a very rigid set of standards that you apply to, which I'm sure the Times would insist upon that, and a tenacity and a relentlessness. And also probably, you know, you have to be somewhat impervious to feedback. So talk to me about the weight of that, just being in the mix of all this.
I have thick skin, and I attribute that to my background, growing up in the Midwest, blue collar community, blue collar background as a truck driver. I drove a truck for 15 years. I had three kids by the time I was 19. And I was a Teamster, a very proud member of the Teamsters as a truck driver. If you ever worked in a trucking company with a, you know, 50 other Teamster, big burly guys, and the, you know, the joking way that we do all day long, what these public officials have said to me, I've heard that so many times. Rodney Fisher's well-known story at the Times, and it's known in the community. When he realized I was a truck driver, he called me on my phone at work, and we were battling about some records, and he started MFing me, you're nothing but a, you know, a trucker this. Well, yeah. What does my trucking background got to do with this? Does it make me lesser of a reporter? No. I just ignore the criticism. I know that if everything in my stories that I can back up with a public record, there's no gotcha games and there's no conspiracy theories, there's no assumptions. If it's not in a document, I don't write it.
So with your, you know, strict adherence to this doctrine, you mentioned the words fake news before. So obviously that's a big subject now. So when I say fake news, what does it elicit in you?
When I hear that coming out of public officials, especially now that it's morphed to the local level, is that it's fake news because you don't want to hear the news and you don't want to realize there are records, there are documents that back it up. Public officials now, a way of saying it, dismiss it.
But do you think across the entire journalistic landscape, obviously not everybody adheres to the same set of standards that you do, do you think that it's fair that that term has been brought up because there has been fake news across the landscape?
As somebody who loves local reporting, I would never want to be a national reporter because it's an arena where you're playing with hundreds of competitors. And some of the, I wouldn't call it fake news, some organizations have made mistakes and they didn't handle it properly. And I can't fault people for criticizing them for that. We're all open to criticism if we err. Is it fake? No, but it should have been corrected much faster. And there's been some blatant screw-ups nationally.
Right.
And I don't want to play in that arena because I'd rather be second and right as opposed to being first and wrong.
Got it. So when you say Fox News here, CNN here, CNN's been juxtaposed with Fox as left and right. Do you feel like that they have clear leanings? And do you feel like that's okay as long as they're open about it? Or obviously they say fair and balanced, and I don't think CNN had to say anything for a while. And now they have to defend themselves. So is it possible to be that objective across a network?
You know, I've never worked in a network of those sizes, so I can't say what drives them. I can only speak to what we do here at the local level. And what we do here is much different than what they do on a 24-hour, 7 cable show.
Right.
There's a lot of reporters on all networks who I follow and I respect. I cringe sometimes when I hear them say some of the stuff they say without backing it up. I hate the term sources close to the investigation, or we gave them anonymity so they could speak. Sometimes I question. Then the next thing you know, another competitor confirms it within minutes. It's like, you guys all know the same source? Come on. I detest that kind of journalism because it gives everybody, especially the local reporters, a bad name.
Right. And it also opens the door for manipulation as
sure,
well.
Sure, without a doubt.
So speaking of the local news, and let's talk about your tenure at the Times. It's, there's been a lot of changes that have happened there. And obviously, it's well known that you're heading out to LA. Congratulations on that new job. So talk about your tenure at the Times. Talk about your feelings for the struggles in local journalism in general and how that relates to the Times.
My tenure, I would argue that I've had a pretty good run. I got lucky. I found a few series in 17, 18, some stories this year. It's no secret that the Times has struggled financially, as with other newspapers. Some reacted faster. The Times hadn't. The Times, I believe, is on solid footing. They have a new editor. He's taken us in a different direction, more digital. He's ramped up digital positions. I think that's a good thing. There's a strong group of journalists at the paper still that are devoted to this community, this region, and the work that we do. And they're going to be in good hands. I'm going to be rooting for them from afar in Los Angeles. it's a place that I love and respect, and they do good work.
And can you speak to anything that you would love to see them attack and really concentrate on?
I would love to see my colleagues, and I know they will, whether it's in Pinellas or Hillsborough. For many years in Pinellas County, there was this train of thought that everybody in Pinellas County operates like a well-oiled machine. Well, I can tell you from the past 2.5 years, 3 years, it does not. There's so many of these boards and agencies that are overseen by business members, appointed members of the public who have no oversight. And these people who have ran these agencies have manipulated what they do to their own benefit. And they operate them like fiefdoms. Hmm. I mean, the state's attorney even called the licensing board a fiefdom. If you look at CareerSource, that's a debacle. And they get tens of millions of dollars each year to help the people in this community the most. The people who are unemployed, who need job training to elevate their skills to maintain a stable employment.
Let's go the other way with it, because obviously, you know, it's tough. There's no excuse for dishonesty, absolutely, right? But there are challenges. Can you speak to any organizations you sort of sniffed around and thought, wow, they're really doing a great job?
I think the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, they're transparent. Sheriff Gualtieri, if there's a problem there, the media isn't the one to break it. He's the one putting out the press release. I commend him. I've dealt with a lot of police leaders who aren't that way. Overall, I think there's a lot of good government agencies that are in Pinellas County. They do the right thing and they are transparent. It's the ones that are often overlooked, the smaller ones that don't impact everybody unless you go there, like the licensing board or CareerSource if you need a job. It's the ones that kind of operate in the shadows because it's not one where you need a trash picked up or you're calling for service for a deputy or a police officer.
So I think the moral of the story is the Times needs to keep another you there if it's not going to be you.
Well, the Times has lots of me. They have a lot of, everybody's there is committed to doing this kind of work. And I've told my colleagues if they ever want help, or I give advice on some of these agencies, they know how to get a hold of me. I'm willing to help them because there's a lot more in this county that needs to be looked at. It's not a well-oiled machine with no problems.
Let's talk about LA. So how did that come on your radar and what are you going to be doing out there?
I'm going to be covering Los Angeles Police Department as an accountability reporter. It came about because in 2015, they had contacted me and it just didn't work out under the prior ownership. I didn't want to go out there. My wife's job brought us back to Pinellas County. They came to me in the fall. They were bought by a billionaire doctor out there who's giving them capital to rebuild and hire experienced reporters and to rebuild their brand throughout the West Coast. And they came to me and asked me, would I want to join them? We had some discussions. I went out there. I liked what I seen and it's turned into my last day at the Times is today. And I'll start out there on the 25th covering the Los Angeles Police Department. To me, it's a dream job.
It's a massive job.
It is. Yeah. They've made it clear. The mandate is we want accountability stories, not, you know, the daily crime stories. I'm sure I'll help out on some crime stuff because I'll be on the law enforcement team, but I see it as a major responsibility. It's one of the largest police departments in the country. I've had experience covering police departments in Ohio and Baltimore. In Baltimore, I exposed the brutality problems that led to a federal investigation and that surfaced right before the riots in 2015. So people knew from that story that there was some serious problems. I have no idea what I'll find in Los Angeles. I was born and raised in the Midwest. I'm going to use it as an experience to see what life is like out there, but I'm going to work hard and see what I can shake up.
Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Former Tampa Bay Times accountability reporter Mark Puente heading to the LA Times, speaking with Catalyst publisher Joe Hamilton, an exit interview from the Catalyst. To read more great material and hear great interviews, visit stpetecatalyst.com.